You deserve the highest. You deserve the highest. You deserve the highest.
You deserve the highest.
You deserve the highest. You deserve the highest. You deserve the highest. You deserve the highest.
Hey, King of Kings,
King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lord, you reign forevermore. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lord, you reign forevermore.
You deserve the highest.
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 Highest praise, the highest praise. The highest praise, you deserve it. Yes, definitely, you merit. But let's take a look at that viewpoint in reverse. Let's have a poetic converse, and you tell me if he deserves the highest praise, what? Let me help you with that. It's something like permanently residing in the coffin, getting chauffeured in a hearse. See, as I'm getting older, I'm realizing what the term means, that the truth hurts. Because on that cross, I saw the truth hurt. I saw love hurt and bleed for you and I. Not only for those that were born in the church, but for those atheists that would choose to walk on by. So if you deep it, you actually deserve the lowest. And because you don't get that, the praise goes to the Most High. In fact, scratch that. We don't deserve anything but His wrath. He gave Jesus Christ a cup of suffering and then decided to turn his back. See that righteousness that you call? That's only filthy rags. Who does that? So as I compose these words, let me tell you something. What's a wordsmith without the word? That's like a community unit without you in it. That's like a living stone choir without the chief cornerstone. That's like Spack Nation without the creator of creation. So there's no other way for me to say this, but you deserve the highest. So of course, my praise will roar. So of course, my praise will soar. Cause they trust in horses and chariots, but you, Jesus Christ, remain my main source. So of course, my praise will roar. Of course, my praise will soar. Because yes, you deserve the highest.
Say it, King of Kings, Lord.
Thank you. Hebrews 11:1. I want everyone settled down as we attempt to start closing this service. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'm not about to start telling you a boring story. I want to tell you something important. Now faith is, I want the Bible reader to read, please.
Now faith is.
Someone say now. No, you didn't say nothing. Say now.
Now.
I need to hear you louder than that. Now.
Now.
Whenever the word now is used, it means that there is a past. It means that even if something else happened 1 hour ago, the moment you use the word now, whatever happened an hour ago is over. Now, faith is. I'm going to use this to get into the ordination. I was born into a pastor's home. Meaning my dad was a pastor like PK's dad. And some of your dads. Like Froggy's dad. Like some of your dads. And some of you are not even born into church at all. I loved God as a child. I served God to the best of my knowledge, but I felt at a time that all that I know about God or Christianity is what my parents taught me. I want to tell you something this afternoon, and I want you to listen to me, please. I'm standing in front of you as a leader or a pastor. I'm not a politician. God knows I don't care about politics. I don't care about meeting people there. I care nothing about them. Nothing. God knows my heart. I don't care about fame. I don't care about being important. But I'll tell you what I care about in a moment. So I love God. I preached my first message when I was 8 years old. And then I went to university. And everything changed. I was told all my life that if you ever smoke weed, you will run mad. Anyone been told that story before? But you see, you didn't run mad, but you did. You did not tear your clothes, but you are no longer the person you're supposed to be. Because every drug is a stimulant. So I started to smoke heavily. I think the other day, myself and Kelvin, we were competing on who smoked more. So I told him, you tell me your own story. So he said his, and I told him how much we consumed. I don't know who won. But if he won me, then he's a pothead. But seriously, I started to smoke. I started to do everything. You call it gang here. We call it cult. But it's not different. It is just some misguided, confused young people without much focus. That's all it is. You know me. I'm not going to embellish words for you. But I think the only difference for me was I managed to finish studying law. Because I know that anyone today that is not functional will be a slave to his or her mate tomorrow. I knew better than my mates that I see today roaming the streets, whose life is not going anywhere. I knew a little better than them then. I knew that what, however tough we are, is limited to a ghetto. However brave I think I am, so I knew to plan. So, like, we're airing life losses here. it was the same thing. I want you to please listen to me. So, being born in a pastor's home, growing up, I preached my first message when I was 8 years old. But now, in uni, I will not go to church for 9 years. Maybe the good thing that came out of that was that I learned everything, including learned every religion. And someone is thinking, how will this affect a person that is not even in gang or anything like that? Please listen to me. I've got just 10 more minutes. This was my life. Everything wrong was what I did. Everything wrong. Why did I do everything wrong? I had no direction. You get a false sense of toughness. But real toughness is not to the weak. You can't get tough to a weak person. You get tough to a tough person. Not a weak person. Why did I start with now? Faith is. So I came to this country in 2005. And it was here that I began to see how much, again, even in an advanced world, they call this place first world, how much young people have no direction. From now till eternity, Spark Nation can get involved all it likes. This government can never solve crime. I have realized that it's not going to work. It's not going to work with them. Because you can't solve something you don't know. Why does a young man want to sell drug? Why does a young man want to kill another man? You know why? He has no faith. He was not thought about faith. He doesn't believe in his ability to get ahead in life. So he's trained in the ghetto where he has to mash somebody's head in order to prove that he's stronger than that person. So I came to this country and I knew, and this is the scripture I will give to all the critics who say, how come you ordained so many young people? I've never in my life heard about the message of grace, because the kind of church I grew up in, we were told, if you ever do anything wrong, just move away from God, because God has given up on you and he doesn't like you. Why? Because you committed a sin. Because you did something wrong. But now, 2005, I was here and I heard. I felt in me, like some of you are feeling this morning or afternoon, I felt there was a bigger call to life. I had my plan. Please put your phone on silence for just 5 more minutes. I had plans. I thought I was going to be this or that. And have you thought about life to think that you can wake up with a brother this morning and they have plans for next week, but they didn't make it till next week? And the person continues to say, you know, I'm going to change tomorrow. I'm going to change next week. I had plans. And so God is raising a voice for young people in this country. And I was telling PK this morning, as Spark Nation, we can only do as much. The time is about now that I'm saying, you know what? I've seen you young black people, black guys and girls. If you want to do well, there's option. If you don't want to, then go kill the next person. Go sell the next drug. Let's see how tough you are when the system comes for you and takes from you the freedom that he always knows it would take from you. What is Becton? A set of people pushed into an industrial estate. Mothers have gone to work day and night and children are busy killing themselves. You call that tough? Come with me to the city and trade with people that are less than your age, and let's see if you're tough. If you can make £10 legitimately, come and show toughness. You're not tough. I started to see young people. I realized that I can't blame them if nobody has put faith in them. I can't blame them if they didn't grow up with parents that says to them, now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. So when I knew the call of God, I heard God say to my heart, I said, Lord, I'm still drinking heavily and doing all manner of things. How can I serve you when I still do these things? You know what he said to my heart? And that changed my life since 2005. He said, listen, I don't care what you do, just go serve me. I've never heard that in my life. Nobody ever gave me a chance in my life for that. He said, I don't care what you do. I said, is this right? Can I give you a Bible verse for that? People ask me stupid questions like, the people you are ordaining, what training did they go through? I ask them, what kind of training did you go to that your church keeps dwindling and there is no more altar call? What training did you go through that your young guys are in rave on Saturday night and they don't follow you to church on Sunday even though you are a pastor? Is that a training you went through? Oh, I know what training you went through. You went through the training of defrauding people in God's name. It's called pastoral training. What training did you go to? So I referred them this morning. You might have to look for this for me. Okay, I have it. It's my time. Say, well, how many more minutes have I got? I don't have it. I thought I did. These guys have changed my note. Someone stole my note. The Bible says that he has made perfect those who have been made holy. I want you to look for that scripture for me. It's that my note on the fourth row. The thief confessed. You took a picture of my note, yeah, Lloyd? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, quickly, ma. And I'm not going to talk much. I'm just going to invite you to come to a better life. I heard that message. It said, I want to use you. I need you. If you come to me, I'll take care of the habits you want to drop. Thank you for clapping, you know. And the first problem I was going to have is, how am I going to survive financially? I started to work as a kitchen porter, £400 a month. But I have something that I'm asking you to have today. I had faith. I had faith that no matter where I start from, so when my friends were busy riding big cars and doing fraud, I had faith. I had faith that if anybody is supposed to be a prime minister tomorrow, I want to stand shoulder to shoulder with them. I had faith. I'm just wondering if there are young men or women here today who have lost faith or still have faith. Have faith that the system still works. It does. Don't lie to yourself in North London or East London or South London or West London and say, no, the system hates us. It doesn't work. It does. I have faith. I have faith that if we can sell hope and faith, the one that the last generation and the church generation has refused to help us with, if we as young people will rise up, we'll begin to sell that to ourselves. I have faith that we will be the next economic breakthrough that the world has been waiting for. Now, yes, please. Now, have we proven that? Yes. Do you know what you guys just did today again? This is why I wonder what I need the government for. We set a target today. Guess what you guys did? You've already shattered the target of our finances. You've broken everything. Maybe you didn't hear what I just said. Throughout, and today I'm standing in front of you, and I'm saying, I don't even need to say, I'm saying proudly that if you came here this morning to give offering, come back next month because we already met our target. Don't worry about it. It's pity, but it's you, the Spark Nation. I just repeated. We don't need to share envelopes. We don't need to say, please give to our cause. And still, we're going to, before July, we're going to invest over 100K in East London, over 200 in Croydon, and we've not taken a single offering from the General Church. I have faith. Oh, I have faith. Oh, I have faith. I have faith that any young man who decides to turn their life around, I've been told time is up. That any young man who decides to turn their life around and the first foundation is Christ. My friends were laughing some years ago. They were starting to get jobs in the city and they're laughing. So you want to do this God thing? I said, of course. Now I tell you now today, I laugh at them and say, oh, so you want to do this job thing? Thank you. I've got faith. And I wonder if you've got faith this morning. I'm not just talking to our gentlemen. And let me tell our gentlemen something. The life you were thought is a life of thuggery, lies, and things that fool the system. It takes £45,000 to keep a young man in prison for a year. 45K. How much does a fresh graduate earn? Please talk to me. 20K, 30K. 18. We use that to service the G-Wagon or the Bentley. A 10K for the whole year. Please listen. Please. When you go to prison, you just made money for another color. That money is not coming to your dad or mom. It's not coming to them. If it is knife crime, you know how many years it is. If it is gun. And you know what is interesting and stupid about it at the same time? You are already expected to do that. It's not like, oh, we caught a young black guy with gun or knife and say, wow. No, they just say, yeah. Lock him up like a chicken. Deprive him of his freedom. Let him, when he goes to prison at 15 and he comes out at 20, he is still a 15-year-old child. He's not a productive part of the community. Why do we do this to ourselves, though? I know why. If you look around you and there's nothing to do, what do? And you want to come out of poverty. Listen, that is why Satan is angry on Twitter, because Spark Nation came and said, look, there's an alternative. In case you don't know, I've got faith. Every church, listen to this now. Every church is legally entitled to something. It is called gift aid. The government gives churches some money when taxpayers pay money. Spark Nation has never taken a penny from the government ever before. Now, I've told people, stop texting me saying, oh, I'm an accountant for gift aid. I just said, I don't want it. The accountant is texting me, giving me why it is nice. I said, I don't want something. I don't want government's money. This morning when calls are made, and I don't care how much people love or hate us in Spark Nation, look around you. Does this look like hate? God loves what you're doing, but he asks you to have faith. Now, when altar calls are made today, love is strength. Hatred is weakness. Weak guys hate. Strong guys love. They say, oh, I just saw my pagan outside and I just want to take a knife and choke him. So when you choke him, you go home thinking, I'm tough, man. I'm bad. You're going to your mom's house. Do you walk into your mom's house and say, Mom, you just don't know me. I'm tough. Huh? I've got faith in you. I've got faith that, you see, I'm wearing a ring here. Can you put a product on this? I've got faith that someone like Stella, where is she? No? Come, man. Quickly. You see this ring? She designed it. It's on the screen. She chose all the diamonds. For God, she worked everything in it. I've got faith that when we invest in young people like these, they can be the next jewelers. Multi-millionaire jewelers within our own community. Shout it, believe it, amen. You may not see this clearly, but if you see the gems in this thing, and I've got faith. Now, so what I've said about being tough or someone stabbing someone, it is the past. Now, faith is this. Oh, you didn't get what I just said. Now, faith is that within our community, you raise money yourself. Last year, we gave over 170,000 within ourselves to help businesses within the black community. Now, it is getting to a stage where there is hardly any young black business that doesn't have Spark Nation money in it. Our alternative is not just Jesus. He is the foundation. Is the only one that changes life. That's why we are a faith-based organization. And all other organizations are talk-based. Yeah. You say, you know, those faith-based organizations. What are you? Talk-based. You're preaching for 3 years. You're talking about 30 people. You want me to sit in a meeting with you? Get out of here, man. Don't waste my day. Gotta go. This church is crazy, man. God needs me. I gotta go. East London needs me. I gotta go. South needs me. Gotta go. This lady, I want you to mark my words today. Before this year is over, we're going to make a multi-millionaire out of her. Yep. You know why? Chill. When you buy a Rolex, and I lock my watches, I've got the Patek or whatever. Thank you. When you buy those things, they go into another community. When we go to them to invest in us, they don't care. But if we go to them to invest in stopping knife crime, you guys should be ashamed of yourself, really. When we go to them to invest in knife crime, they give. So Dick Khan says, I just gave $45 million away. Guess what? Whilst you black young guys are carrying knife and feeling like a fake tough guy, young Asians are becoming millionaires. Do you not know that you will end up working as their security guard? Since you know how to use the knife well. But that was then, right? Now, faith. Faith is coming into our community for us to say, whatever the old world is entitled to, we are entitled to it as well. And guys, you can look at it this afternoon and say, I don't know what to do next. I'm saying, this is what to do. You've seen the example of Kevin. And you know, do you know what it means? Maybe some of you don't know. Let me educate you. Do you know what it means to be on the pages of Financial Times? I don't think you know. You think it's a daily edition, is gone. No, I've been able to put him in the financial market for life. Kelvin, I've never met you before. I don't know his family. I believe you are from Brazil. I'm from Jamaica. But the faith people were not able to put in us, we can come together as Spark Nation and put it in ourselves. She's going to print out what our website is. You know why this will work? When those people charge us thousands and thousands of pounds to buy jewelry, she's making it for very cheap, ensuring it and making sure it is black excellence. Now, excellence is excellence, but I needed to add black for a purpose. That's why I said I'm not interested in meetings, because I'm just going to speak as I speak. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, so you want to give me money or what? Get over here, man. Gotta go. We're going to give you some huge allocation. Allocate it to yourself, man. So, of course, we need money, by the way. I'm just joking. No, seriously. She's going to print afterwards. You're going to see how to work with her, how to patronize what she does. And that's why I'm wearing this, because she did it. Yeah? God bless you, sweetheart. Do you know how many track suits? Where's Infected and Fortune? If nobody comes, I'll just move on quickly. I've got to move on. I'm sure Fortune heard me, but nobody's coming for Fortune. Guy, you've got to run, my friend. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know if you've got the pictures, but you know, somebody got born again one day because Pastor Sam was wearing a tracksuit. It just said, a pastor in tracksuit? Say, yes, sir, I give my life to Jesus. No. What our adults, not ours in this church, outside, what they want us to do is to wear tie and go to Becton. How old are you?
I'm 17.
What community unit do you go to?
Brixton. So I want to affect your clothing, and we're trying to affect communities. We're trying to make a stylish and comfortable approach to how you dress. And we started under a year, and we've got following over 1,000 on Instagram. So we're getting there, yeah.
Many of you already know Fortune, right? How old are you?
22. How we started Fortune, we lost a friend. It was Pastor Ebo's little brother. But growing up in Creden, I go to see...
What community unit do you go to?
CC. That's Creden. Growing up in Creden, we always wanted the good things in life, but we were caught up in doing it the wrong way. So a lot of my friends ended up going to jail for selling drugs. Some died. But I felt like the vision was good, but how we was carrying out the vision wasn't right. So I thought about just doing it in a legitimate way. So I just put Fortune on clothes to still kind of push the same message, but do it in a positive light. So that's what Fortune stands for.
It is very simple. If a young man walks into Spark Nation or his sister, our first question is to get them to Christ. Number two is, what do you want to do? It's as simple as that. That's how King's Class started. They're adding King's Class. King's Class is adding a Rolls Royce to their fleet. I don't know what more I'm supposed to do for your generation. I don't know. So when I wake up, like I woke up on, was it Wednesday morning? And I see on my phone, Thursday. And I see on my phone, Reese is dead. Do you know what that does to me? Sometimes it makes me want to hate young black guys. Because it tells me that you really don't care about your parents. Can you put up my picture with Slew, young Slew? So that you know that I'm not a guy talking to you guys from a distance. It's not some pastor guy from a distance. Can I have that picture anywhere soon? But whilst we're doing that, the solution is simple. We've got to create things like these, and we've got to buy it from ourselves. I don't need a Puma, because Puma doesn't care about me. We're wearing all this now to get your attention, but I don't really need it if one of you do this. Isn't it the problem you would then have is to say, where do we go for capital? Both the capital of intellectual investment and finances. That's why you've got Spark Nation. Many of you want to sing. Can I ask you guys one question? Why is a knife necessary in the studio? You want to be Americans? Go to Chicago and prove your toughness. I thought you want to do music. Now we're going to start a studio in East London. Clean and classy. If you want to do music, you go there, but not with weed and knife. No pictures. So, Infected will be displayed more. You're going to see it on the Spark Nation chat. And that's why I'm asking you to make sure that from next Sunday, as I begin to teach on quality living, quality life at Riverbank, be there. God bless you, Fortune. God bless you, Infected. That's me and Reese. At Atkinson. I kept telling him twice. I said, Reese, I see visions, but I don't mean to scare anybody. I don't think you've got much time. And he kept telling his brothers, just give me a month. I honestly thought he had more than a month. But now, this is called adulthood. Now we realize it doesn't. Another young man died the other day, Friday morning. Can you imagine? I wake up on Thursday. I was praying just exact time. I was praying with Pastor Lucy. Checked my phone for a brief on Thursday. I've seen that day. Then Friday morning, praying again with Pastor Lucy. Then one of your sisters said, my brother just passed away. At 26. I've never met the brother, but let me tell you, there's nothing humanly possible that we did not do to get this brother to church. Everything we can. Pastor Sam, yeah, tried his best. The sister is a minister in the church, did all her best to get him to church. Then he started saying, oh, there's Spark Nation. Oh, you're doing this there, you're doing that. We just want to get you safe from killing yourself. The brother killed himself with drug overdose. He wasn't a druggie, but police stopped him. He wanted to clear out all the evidence. He ate everything. If you see the picture, he busted. All his intestine busted. The guy literally killed himself. You want to make money? I'm sure you've made a lot of it now. I'm talking to our brothers today. You can decide to walk out of air, surrendering all to God, or you can decide, I've got time. The story of a lovely young man, Reese, is why Spark Nation does what it does. Is why today I'm inviting you to Christ. Is why today in some minutes we're going to ordain. Where I'm really going is to have 200 leaders. Did you find that scripture? Quickly read it so that I can know that I've finished preaching.
For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy.
This is the scripture you should send to everybody that looks like at Kelvin or looks at any of the ordained people or to be ordained people today and say, this one, tell them she's perfect. Why? Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So I'm still being made holy, but he made me perfect. I still keep wondering what happened to the church. The church don't read the Bible anymore. We condemn and slap all. He says, go out of here knowing that you are perfect. He's still working on you, but he calls you perfect. He didn't make you perfect by you becoming perfect. He made you perfect by his own sacrifice. He died on the cross. This is my message for all the critics. Say, I'm a bishop. What training did... Can you imagine one bishop text one of our sisters and say, I learned you're getting ordained. What training did you go through? Have you sorted out your issues? I said, text back the adulterer. Listen, let me tell you, don't forget all those stories. I know what I'm talking about. Text him back and tell him. Have you sorted out all your own issues? Please, is there anyone here this afternoon? And there are many men of God like Bishop and everybody. Is there anyone who has sorted out all their issues? But guess what Jesus did with my issues? He nailed it to the cross. I may never. Stephen, join me. Come. Come make altar call. Quick. Let me use your credit now. Please give him a microphone. He, by one sacrifice, thank you, he had made perfect those who are still being made holy. That's why Spark Nation has a goal. We want 200 leaders ordained. We don't do trainings here. We do real life matters. Do you know what happened on Thursday? The moment we heard it, things that Metropolitan Police will spend hell of a money to find information that they will never find. I've made phone calls. These young people being ordained were the ones that rallied themselves and brought everybody that needs to be brought to my house so that there will be no bloodshed. You want me to keep them in training so that they become toothless dogs like you? and bloodshed will be happening there, and you're just praying. Come on now. Now, I want all movement to stop. We've fasted for this moment. We've prayed for this moment. We've prayed for you. We've prayed because we know that there are things dealing with your heart, and it makes it so hard. But we've prayed that God will let you see sense. I've shared my own story, so I'm not sharing the story of a perfect life. I'm sharing the story of a life that is damaged as well. But that one day decided, I'm just going to follow God, and I have faith. I'm going to drop everything, and as you're listening to me, if you're carrying a knife, a gun, the best thing to do is to stand up and come drop it on the altar. You don't need it. It's for weak people. It's for weaklings. You're not weak, guys. You're strong. There is nothing you cannot do with your life if you choose to. Nothing. I want the choir to mount the pulpit, please. Stephen, evangelist, how old are you?
23.
What training did you go through to become an evangelist?
I didn't go through no training. Before I became an evangelist, I was just bringing people to church like I would bring people to any other place that I go to. And I just
like you used to bring people to where? Talk to me.
To
anywhere.
The enemy's territory, raves or whatever. I was just bringing people with me. I just became an evangelist.
Can I tell you something? If a young man has led people to the enemy's territory, you don't want to know what that means, adults. You know. And now it leads them to Christ. We want many souls to Christ today.